For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. Listen carefully for the word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. About 9 a.m. in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. Then he went out again about noon and 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in the vineyard." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. May God help us to understand these readings from his written word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Amen. Well, I suppose you're looking for some kind of explanation, aren't you? I confess to you, when I was in the parish and had to preach every week, sometimes I got my sermon title without a sermon. Because I always tried to get something that would get people's attention, you see. But you're lucky, that's not the case this time. And indeed, one of your members came up to me before the service, and they got the clue right. What to do while your minister is in jail? You say, well, we don't have a minister, and we don't have one certainly in jail. I haven't seen you since June, and I suppose some of you came up with the explanation, maybe Congham was out in the sun too long this summer. But your situation here is not unlike if your minister indeed was in jail. You are without a minister and have been without a minister for more than a year now. There are certain events that come into our lives unasked for and surprising often. And there's really not much we can do about it. We talk about it, we may pray about it, we may talk to our neighbor about it, but we can't really change them. Sometimes they are happy events. Did you hear about the down and outer who won the $50 million in the lottery? I wonder what he'll do with the money. Well, one thing for sure, he'll soon discover that he has a lot of cousins he didn't know he had before. Hi, my mother was your sister by a previous marriage twice removed. We've always been a very close family, you know. But some events come that are unannounced and difficult. Like when the member of your family is diagnosed with cancer and the family is galvanized around this event, or your minister dies. Well, it was like this in the text this morning. My text actually is the whole book of Philippians. But I didn't think I should have you read the whole thing. Although it's only four chapters, you might read it when you go home. It's not very long. In my church in Don Mills, the lay people used to read the scripture. They used to read both passages that we had. And one of the days, one of the gentlemen was reading in the Gospel of Luke, and he missed the stop sign. He just kept reading. And the Gospel of Luke, there's lots of places to stop. But he went right through the chapter. Now he's on the second chapter, and his wife, who was sitting next to me at the front of the church and had read the first lesson, leaned over to me and said, "What will we do?" I should have said, "What are you going to do?" But I didn't. So I said, "Well, if he doesn't stop at the end of the second chapter, I'll do something." I had no idea what I should do, but sure enough, he went right through the second chapter. He's now on the third chapter, and so I quietly went over and whispered in his ear, "Colin, do you think you could bring this to a close soon?" I went back and sat down, and it was as if I had said nothing to him. He just kept reading. And he finally stopped in the fourth chapter. And one of the elders said to me, "My goodness, John, I thought he was going to read the whole Bible." Well, I thought if I had you read the whole of the Philippians, you might think that also. But you really should read it, because my text is not based on a particular verse, but on this complete letter of St. Paul to the church in Philippi. The church in Philippi was one that Paul had actually established. It was located in northern Greece. And here we have the church meeting for Sunday worship. And this morning there is only one topic of conversation, not the bazaar that's coming, not a concert, not a stewardship campaign in the fall, but not even the strawberry social next June. The only topic of conversation is the fact their minister is in jail. Now, we're not told why he's there or where he is, only that he's in jail, being held, and waiting for trial. And so you can imagine this small congregation meeting and talking about this and remembering. Someone says, I was one of the first persons that St. Paul met when he came to town, and a few of us became the first members. Do you remember Lydia? Yes, Lydia is a member. And do you remember we used to meet first in her condo for a few months? And there's Paul's shawl hanging over there. He had difficult health. He always seemed to get a cold. And he sometimes mentioned the thorn in his flesh. Some evil people thought it was his wife, but that was not true. Well, how do you explain these events? You really can't. Some things are irrational and not understandable. Here is a person who worked night and day for God, ends up in jail, waiting trial. Maybe he will be executed. Here is one who dragged his aching body across two continents. If anyone was faithful, it was Paul, and here he is, languishing in jail. I thought of this when I heard a few months ago from my good friend Reverend Pearl out at the Two Little Charges near St. Catherine's. I've known Pearl since she was a classmate of my son at Knox College, and always admired her, a remarkable person. She had contacted me a few months ago and said she had this wonderful trip planned to China. And do you think I could come out in May to help out with the supply while she was away? And then a few weeks before that, she contacted me and said, I've had to cancel my trip. I have a serious health problem, and I can't go. And I thought, if anyone in the world needs a break, it's Pearl. I wondered what the TV evangelists who proclaim that if you are only faithful, you will be both wealthy and healthy. What would they say? And so I think of Paul, and I think of the young woman in Charlottesville, run down and killed by a crowd chanting racist and Nazi slogans. And I think of all the victims of senseless crimes or illnesses that seem to have no purpose. And I think of my granddaughter, Abby, who suffers from Rett syndrome. Abby, she's now a teenager, but born as a little baby, a beautiful little baby, who after 6 months lost her ability to talk and never recovered it, who has multiple problems and difficulties, health problems. The inner moderator asked if I could be here with you next week. I guess he was used to me coming whenever you have something to eat. Unfortunately, I couldn't be with you next week because the families of Abby, over a decade ago, started a Run for Rett, this disorder that was only discovered in the 1990s that mostly afflicts girls. And so every year we have a Run for Rett and raise about $50,000 to support research and support families and education and so on. And so that's where I'll be next weekend. And sometimes it seems that those who survive and have a good time are ones who fool around and don't live right. And the ones who get it in the neck are the faithful folk, the good folk. What's the old rock song say, the line, "Only the good die young"? Well, if you have an explanation for these things, I'd like to hear it, but I don't. So here's a little church meeting, and some of them are worried. What are we going to do without a minister? Maybe we won't make it. We're sure to lose members. Whenever you don't have a minister, some drift away, we know that. And the offerings will be down. The worst comes to the worst, maybe we'll have to close. And we'll never be able to get a minister as good as Paul was. Well, while they're musing about these things, an old man enters the sanctuary. He's pale and sickly, and he's walking with a limp and carrying a cane. His name is Epaphroditus. And when the church first heard that St. Paul was in jail, they said to him, "Look, you're retired, you have lots of time. We want you to go to St. Paul in jail as our emissary and do anything you can to help him." But while he's there, he gets sick. He almost dies. But when he's well enough, St. Paul writes this letter, gives it to him and says, "Take this letter back to the church." The letter says, among other things, that "I, Paul, appreciate your love and concern for me, but with all the difficulties and troubles I'm having now, I really don't need a sick deacon." And so when they see this fellow, they say, "What are you doing back?" And he said, "Well, I have this letter from Paul which will explain everything. Read it." And here in short form is what St. Paul said in the letter. I want to get it right, so I'll read it. "Get your mind off me," he said. "I am not the center of the church. I'm doing fine. And I'm prepared to live or die. Given my aching body, I'm not sure the latter isn't preferable. After all, to die is to be with Christ. However, I think God probably has more work for me to do, so I hope to return to you at some point. Until then, quit fussing about me. No church can be successful in the long term built around the preacher. Preachers come and go. Some are young, some are old. Some are good, some are bad. But you are the church and you have Christ. Stand together and be strong. There are only two things essential for the church: Jesus Christ and human need. Where you are, there are rich folk and poor folk. There are haves and have-nots. There are powerful and powerless. There are educated and ignorant. There are believers and non-believers. The church is called to help them all. The church is to be the gospel for all these folk. The real test of ministry is how you do in my absence. Fred Craddock tells about taking part in a conference at Clemson University. A young woman gets up before he speaks. She is to give the devotional. He notes that she has a large yellow pad with her, and he thinks to himself, uh-oh, this is going to be a long night. She begins to speak in a low voice in another language. Only one sentence, but then another language. And on in different languages, 60 or 70 languages. And the last time she speaks the sentence in English, "Mommy, I'm hungry." Going home that night, it hit him when he read a billboard near Atlanta that said, "All you can eat for $5.99. I remember going to a lecture years ago given by a Roman Catholic priest who was also a professor at the university. I don't remember why I went. I don't remember the title of what he was speaking about. But I've always remembered one thing he said. Perhaps I remembered it because it was so startling, I thought, at the time, coming from a preacher, a minister, a priest in a very hierarchical organization. He asked us near the end the question, "What is the highest office or calling that a Christian can have?" Some might say it's a priest, but he said, no. The priest is not the highest calling. "Well then, is it to become the bishop?" "Well, that's an important office," he said, "but that's not the highest office to which you can be called." "Well, surely then it is to get the red hat of a cardinal. That would be it." "No," he said, "not to be cardinal either." "Well, then there's only one thing left. The highest office is to be the Pope." "No," he said, "the Pope is not the highest office to which you can be called. The highest office, the highest calling to which any Christian is called is simply to be a brother and sister of Jesus Christ, and a brother and sister to each other." Paul said, "Get your mind off me. You have Christ and all these human needs. That's all you need to be an effective church." And so this morning, once again, I have spoken to you in the name of your Father, in the name of your brother, Jesus Christ, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, who can take these words and make them live in your life together. And now, as we think of all